Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Thanks much for making the show part of your day. We'll take you up to Nats pregame at 6:15. They play tonight at 6:45, as Toby just told you in his update. Patrick Corbin makes his much-anticipated return. He's having a nice bounce-back season after quite literally five down seasons with the Nationals. He's pitching better than he did at any point since 2019 with the Texas Rangers after looked like he was headed for retirement and then just kind of latched on injury-riddled Rangers team on a very low-priced one-year deal. But he might be extending his career as a lefty getting a lot of outs. Right now, as promised, let's give away tickets to the barbecue battle. We got a four-pack for you. The Giant Barbecue Battle is June 21 and 22, so caller 10-800-636-1067. You've got four tickets to go enjoy 2 days of barbecue and family fun with DC's best bands. They aren't going to be on the Pepsi Lays, Art to Go-Go, Summer Grilling Stages, Metro, Shared Ride Accessible. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events. Danny, the show brought to everybody today by the law firm Cundori & Murad.
We love those guys, and we wonder, what are you doing to protect your family's assets? As the exclusive sponsor of our show, that law firm, Cundori & Murad, can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
We're going to get to the Beltway Blitz coming up in just a minute. We'll talk about the NBA and the Nationals, but really quickly, we were going to talk to Shannon Harris, interim head coach, DC Defenders. We'll try to track him down. They're just getting done with practice. Danny, Sunday for the Defenders is their conference championship game. They're playing in St. Louis against the Battle Hawks. The Defenders have been one of the top teams in the UFL this year. It's a little bit of a bummer because they were better than the Battle Hawks this year. This game should be played in D.C. at Audi Field, but there was a conflict. They overbooked with soccer events and didn't hold anything for the Defenders possibly getting to the conference title game. So instead of having a neutral site game somewhere, they're playing the game in St. Louis. And I don't blame the league for this, because if you play in a neutral site, San Antonio or something, nobody goes. Now, there's going to be a few hundred people in the stands, and it's going to be a terrible look on Fox nationally on TV.
Yeah, they want a good TV look. They need that, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to get tens of thousands of people. They're, at times, it's a big dome. It seats 60,000. Like, they've had 40,000 people go to some of those games. So for a conference title, hopefully they get 30-some. And while it's going to be a hostile road environment for the Defenders, you probably would rather play in a stadium with some energy. So it's a bad break for them, but they're a win away from trying to play for a title.
What's the thing that they've been using? I forget what they told us,
it's
but it's basically
bit.
It's good.
Yes.
Right?
Bring it on. It is the idea, right?
Yeah, you're supposed to have a home game, but now you don't. Good.
Good. Yeah, say so. Let's do this thing. Yeah, we had one of their players on yesterday and basically went through the specifics of what was going on, and you said, we like it that way. Let's go. So big game for them. Hopefully we're talking about them punching their ticket to the UFL championship game after this weekend. All right, let's kick off the Beltway Blitz. our pal Chase Hughes, Monumental Sports. Chase, before we lock in on the finals, when you watch a series like either of the conference finals or the start of the set last night, how far off do you view the Wizards as being? And if you juxtapose them to these teams, like, where is it most obvious that they're just not playing the same level of sport?
That's a good question. I think probably their shooting and their efficiency. I mean, they were 30th in offensive rating last year. And I think when you have a young team that's rebuilding, that's kind of par for the course. You know, the Wizards have a philosophy as their front office that you can teach players how to shoot. And I think you've seen that with a lot of their draft picks. They brought in guys who didn't necessarily have great track records as shooters, and they're going to take the long view and try to teach them how to shoot, particularly from three-point range. And they feel like once those guys do learn how to shoot, guys like Bilal Coulibaly and Alex Saar, then they'll be really complete players because they check off so many other boxes. And as you see last night, you know, the Indiana Pacers made 18 threes. You know, we know the Oklahoma City Thunder, they didn't shoot very well last night, but they can shoot, you know, very excellently. And they had the third-ranked offense this year in terms of efficiency. So I think that's probably the biggest gap for the Wizards, but obviously they got a long way to go in a lot of different categories.
Chase, I think it was a couple months ago, I was just chatting with a couple of guys around here at the station, just about the NBA, just sort of where we were, what was going on. The East, you know, the Western Conference, everyone behind OKC was jockeying for position a game or two above or below each other. And you had kind of a similar thing in the middle part of the Eastern Conference. And I remember putting Atlanta in this group of teams where I go, oh, they're fun. Like, I like Orlando. I like Indiana. I'm not really sure about this Detroit team, but they're young, and I enjoy watching them play. Not as a championship contender. Everyone keeps underestimating them, and they keep advancing, and they win again last night. How is this happening?
Well, they're a really, really well-coached team, and I think that shows up in some of the numbers. Obviously, Tyrese Halliburton and Pascal Siakam, they've got high-end talent, but I think they really maximize their roster because they play really fast, but they also protect the ball. They only they give up only about 12 turnovers a game. It's third best in the league. You wouldn't have known that last night. Obviously, they had a ton of turnovers, 25 in the game, 19 in the first half. But I think Rick Carlisle is one of the best coaches in basketball. And, you know, as the Pacers won last night, people are starting to wonder, you know, could they take the series? And how surprising would that be? And a lot of people are mentioning, you know, the 2011 Mavericks who had Dirk Nowitzki and beat the Miami Heat unexpectedly. Well, guess who was the head coach of the 2011 Mavericks? It was Rick Carlisle. This guy's been doing it for a really long time. I think the Pacers play a style where they don't commit too many mistakes. They play really smart basketball. They defend. They have guys who are assigned to very specific roles that they're well-suited for. And the result is a team that gets every possible thing that they can out of the talent that they have.
Chase, Halliburton's run here in the clutch has been the best I've ever seen. I mean, it's now five shots that he's hit for this postseason to tie or take the lead in the waning seconds. In the playoffs, you just don't see this. But what about his game in general? You know, if everyone wants to say the Pacers don't have a superstar or, you know, that he's not on the level of being an MVP type, and let's face it, he hasn't been. How close is he? What is he?
I think he is a superstar. I mean, he fits my definition of a superstar, and I think one reason for that would be he's the best player on a really good team that has been at least to the conference finals each of the last 2 years, now is in the finals, and they're in the driver's seat, right? They just won a game on the road. They're up 1-0. That, to me, says superstar. And then, you know, for somebody like me, I always like to, of course, look at the stats and look at the numbers. And it's a pretty open and shut case when you look at how productive he is, especially on the offensive end, what he can do as a scorer, as a passer, and with his efficiency. And I ran some numbers recently. I did a YouTube video on this, and I was pretty surprised at the pace that Tyrese Halliburton is on statistically. At this point in his career, 333 games played, he's got more points than James Harden, more assists than John Stockton, more threes and a higher three-point percentage than Ray Allen, and he's got more steals than Kobe Bryant. So this wow. guy's on a Hall of Fame track. I think he's the best pure point guard in the league. I think he's going to go down as a Chris Paul-like figure. I think he's going to be in that conversation. And I think the reason why people don't think he is a superstar is just aesthetics and vibes. He doesn't fit the, you know, traditional definition of an NBA superstar. He's not flashy, but when you look at the production, it's pretty obvious.
Chase, what does Oklahoma City do differently here to get game two and maybe go on to win the series?
I think they defend the three-point line better than they did last night. The Pacers shot 46% from three. They are good at shooting threes. They were a little bit above average during the regular season. They've leveled up pretty much across the board their entire rotation in the playoffs. But they're facing a Thunder team that is one of the best defensive teams I've ever seen at the defending the perimeter. They are number one in the league in opponent's three-point percentage. So I don't think what the Pacers did last night is sustainable in that regard.
Chase, we appreciate you, buddy. Good info. Thank you. Enjoy the finals.
Absolutely. You too. Thanks, guys.
Thunder have some work to do. Now let's talk baseball. Dave Jagler was on the call last night with Charlie Sloz as the Nats lost the rubber match with the Cubs at home and dropped 2 out of 3 to an elite Chicago team. Now the Texas Rangers come to town, and Jags joins us now to break down the 3-game series to wrap up this homestand. Jags, I want to read you really quickly what Richard Lewis, who's a listener, emailed me about Patrick Corbin, who starts tonight, the former World Series champion. He said, I hope Nats fans come out tomorrow to support Patrick Corbin tomorrow night. While 2020 through 24 were not great, I figured you'd appreciate this. Since 1950, two pitchers have thrown 3 or more scoreless innings in relief in a World Series Game 7 that their team won. Madison Bumgarner in 14, Corbin in 19. Hard to imagine the Nats winning that game without Corbin's performance. What do you expect from the crowd tonight?
Well, I mean, I think it'll be a lot in line with what it was at the end of last season when he was winding down and made his final start here, and he got a nice ovation. I'm sure he'll be treated in a very positive fashion because he was part of the most special team in this franchise's history. I think they'll hold off on the tribute video until tomorrow, not going to do it on the night that he pitches. So I think it'll be all positive vibes. We'll see what happens in the game. But I think clearly, you know, whatever the performance was after winning the World Series, Patrick Corbin's footprints are still on this ball club today, and in particular the starting pitching staff. And when we talk about Jake Irvin and Mitchell Parker having first-inning troubles, both of them this season, but every time they get knocked around in the first inning, they end up going 5 or 6 innings, and that's something that Corbin did on a consistent basis, you know, posting every fifth day and just trying to chew as much innings up as you can, even if things aren't going well. And the other thing that he did, Mackenzie Gore was pretty much attached to Corbin's hip for the last 2 years here. And I think Corbin was a real, you know, kind of baseball father figure and a mentor to Mackenzie Gore. And look how he's taken off this year. So a lot of Patrick Corbin's imprint is still on the 2025 Nats.
Jags, Nats came in second last night to a really good Cubs team. We were talking postgame. Bit of a strange one, though. I know the score ended up lopsided 7-1 with some late runs for Chicago, but I don't think the Nats kind of rolled over and didn't play particularly well, hit into some hard luck. What's the takeaway from last night?
Yeah, I mean, the takeaway on the Cubs is they're really good, and they're going to be a handful throughout the season. I mean, I look at James Wood in particular, and Wood is 1-for-12 in his last 4 games, but his last 5 at-bats over the last 2 games, he scalded the ball each and every time. So, and none of those resulted in hits. So just kind of stay with the process, and he wasn't the only one. You know, that first inning, Rosario sent one of the warning track. The Cubs play spectacular outfield defense. They gunned down 2 base runners last night. So just one of those nights that it wasn't their night, but they're facing a Texas club that really isn't going well right now. The Rangers had an awful series in Tampa that they lost on a 2-run infield single last night. Mental mistake, nobody covering first. The winning run comes around from second. Surprisingly, a team that was expected to be an offensive juggernaut has a .222 team batting average. So the Rangers just aren't going well. So hopefully maybe a team the Nationals can do well against this weekend.
What have you seen from C.J. Abrams? I know the slump there, but a couple knocks last night. I know he got thrown out at second when he overslid the bag, but that's got to be a good sign, right?
The fact that he hit the ball the other way in his second at-bat was a good thing because I think, to me, he was getting a little bit pull-happy, maybe trying to chase some power. When he was going well and hitting over 300, he was hitting the ball consistently up the middle and to left center. And, oh by the way, hit a couple of dingers to left center field. So, to me, getting him back in the middle of the field the other way is a really good sign.
Dave Jagler, Charlie Sloz on the call. Nats baseball pregame in 2 hours and then at 6:45, first pitch tonight. Jags off the beaten path a little bit here, but Brady House is killing the ball in AAA. He's hitting .296 now. He homered again yesterday. Two of his last three, he's gone deep. He's got 12 home runs. He's actually been better statistically at AAA than certainly Dylan Cruz was before he was promoted. You can make the case, you know, maybe not the power overall, some of the numbers right there with James Wood. How far out are we from seeing Brady House at this point? Because it's not like there's someone blocking him at third.
Yeah, I mean, tough for me to say because I don't see him every day to know what else, you know, how he's doing defensively. I mean, talking to some of the pitchers who've been out down in Rochester, they're giving rave reviews about him defensively. So certainly the offensive numbers are coming around. I think he's knocking on the door. Now, I don't know when that will be, but it seems like we're somewhat imminent. I mean, you know, Jose Tena's nailed it down, you know, pretty well against righties, and Rosario platooning against lefties. But yeah, I mean, ideally, if Brady House can come up here and, oh, by the way, give you some right-handed pop, that would be welcome, because since Dylan Cruz went down and Jacob Young went down, although it's great that JY is going to be back today, with Hassel and Lyle coming up, this team has been all left-handed and susceptible occasionally to left-handed late relief. A right-handed bopper with some thump would be a welcome addition.
Jags, thank you as always, sir. Have a great call this evening.
Yeah, man, we'll see you guys tonight. We got the post-game concert afterwards, so it's going to be a fun night here at the ballpark. Hope to see you out here.
Oh, indeed.
You're a big Natasha Bedingfield guy, Jags, a little Unwritten. You're going to be dancing.
You never know. I mean, we'll turn the cameras off if that happens, though.
I heard Charlie's a big Natasha Bedingfield guy.
I think he thinks that she's lit.
Amazing.
Natasha Bedingfield is lit.
Exactly. Couldn't have said it better myself.
10 out of 10. Jags, thank you, sir. Let's talk. Oh, you already hit it. I love that. Coach Shannon Harris of the D.C. Defenders joins us. Big one this weekend, Coach, against St. Louis. Preview it for us.
Yes, another big task for us. And, you know, again, great. Thanks for having me on. But, yes, another big task for us this week. And, you know, going into a hostile environment. But, you know, we've been in that environment before. And, you know, since 2023, we've had some really battles against these guys. And, you know, I was reading earlier today, it was like game seven. You know, this is the seventh time we'll be playing each other, and the series tied 3-3. So, you know, we're excited for this matchup and can't wait to get there and get after it.
X and O with us a little bit, Coach, and Shannon Harris, the interim head coach of the Defenders, ahead of their conference championship game in St. Louis in a couple of days, is with us on the Blitz. I mean, what's this matchup? Where do you guys have advantages? Where are you going to have to be sharper? What problems do they present?
Yeah, I tell you, this team, I mean, they're a very consistent team. They're a balanced team, you know, on both offensively and defensively. They got really good players. They're well coached by Coach Beck and his staff. And they do a good job with the personnel they have, and their scheme is really good. So, but for us, we just got to make sure that, you know, when it comes down roster to roster to anyone within the UFL, we feel like we have the best roster. So it all comes down to us being disciplined in our schemes from an offense standpoint, defensive standpoint, and special teams. So we feel like once we're disciplined and within the scheme, and we do the things we're supposed to do and coached up that we're supposed to do, you know, we feel that we have the advantage because of our roster, because we feel like our players, when it comes down to player to player, is better. But, you know, we got to go in there and then we got to take it on the challenge of the noise. It's going to be a loud dome this week. Probably one of the biggest games, in there since playing and within the UFL as well. And, we'll be excited for the matchup.
Coach, where have you guys improved the most since you got together a couple months ago?
Yeah, I'll tell you, offensively, our red zone offense has picked up tremendously. We've been much better from week one to where we are now. You know, all the way up to week three, we got better in week three. And in week four, we kind of sputtered a little bit, but consistency started for sure all the way to now where we are in week five. So, you know, that's our strong point to where we feel like we've gotten better from an offensive standpoint. Defensively, we've done a good job of getting takeaways and, you know, creating more sacks with our guys up front. And so and our secondary play has gotten so much more better from week one to where we are now. So as Baker, you know, he sealed the game for us, the clinch, the playoff for us against Arlington, and then a few takeaways after the games after that. So that's been the biggest thing for us from an offensive and defense standpoint. We got to clean things up, special team, you know, from our field goal unit. You know, like I told Matt, I was telling him, you know, there's a chance he could win the game for us this weekend. So just be ready for the moment. Don't get discouraged on things that happened in the last 2 weeks. And we'll clean that up. And then, you know, defensively, just, you know, want to get more takeaways. And then, you know, offensively, we can't have turnovers. The last 2 weeks we did, you know, playing a lot of new guys and playing a lot of young guys, you know, get those reps to save guys on our roster once we clinch. So so we feel good about that if we do those things.
Coach Shannon Harris, head coach, D.C. Defenders, 2 days away from trying to win a conference championship game. Thank you. We appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thank you all, and appreciate you all again.
Thanks, Coach.
Oh, always. Our pleasure. There's Shannon Harris of the Defenders. That is your Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. Let's stick with the football theme in D.C. and dabble up to the Commanders next. There's been a lot of talk at OTAs this week about the pass rush being just fine. You guys are worried about the edge rushers. We're not. Last year, you didn't know Dante Fowler was going to be as good as he was. Someone in this building is going to be this year's Dante Fowler. Well, who is that, and where's the pass rush coming from? We'll address that next on Grant and Danny.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I don't think going into the year anybody thought Dante was going to have 10 and a half sacks last year. I don't think anybody in here would have said that. And so we'll have somebody that to produce a higher sack total than what's thought to be, okay? And so who that person is, I don't know. Will it be a collective of guys? I don't know. But I do feel that our pass rush will be better. I do feel definitely that our run defense will be better. Where will it come from? Which individual? It's too early to say, but it will come.
G&D, welcoming you back on The Fan. That was Joe Witt Jr., defensive coordinator of your Commanders. I don't expect him to get up to the podium and say, we're not going to have as many sacks this year. We're not going to be as good a pass rushing team. But, and maybe it's just that he's first team all press conference and he's one of the best at cutting promos on the mic. When he says it, it feels like there's more confidence. Like he's not just doing coach speak.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that he believes that they got plenty of pass rush and that they're probably going to have a 10 sack guy, and that they're going to have a bunch of dudes to get more sacks than you and I think. They seem pretty confident in that. Everybody points to last year's sacks per pass attempt, the ratio of pressures turned into sacks and how often they got home. And they were just outside of the top 10, top half the league, I think between 12 and 15, 12th last year in that category. But you did lose a guy that got you almost 11. You did lose your best pass rushing defensive tackle, John Allen. And those are two substantial losses. So they're saying, we're going to figure it out. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. We've got guys that are better than you think they are. But this is going to take some real coaching. They're going to earn their paychecks here because Dorrance Armstrong's the one guy from a sheer pass rushing standpoint on that defensive line as an edge who has proven at any point in his career that he could get anywhere close to 10 sacks. Otherwise, that guy doesn't exist. And at least in Fowler's case last year, even if we didn't expect it, Danny, you could have said hit an 11 sack season. Maybe that's still in there. They don't have that. Cleveland Farrell has never done that. Dietrich Wise has not done that. Jalen Holmes, Javonte Jean-Baptiste. So my counter to him would just be Fowler at least had the skill set that you guys had to get to. No one in their building right now has what Fowler had on his resume.
So I think a lot of my philosophies about defense come from watching Greg Williams' defensive teams for so many years. And the easiest way, I'll kind of put a pin in that for a second. The easiest way to get pass rush is what? Have a really good pass rusher. Tune in for more great analysis from old Randy Duye. But seriously, you have a great defensive end. You don't have to scheme anything up. You don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to do a stunt or a game or have this defensive tackle occupy a blocker or work around or do a fake zone dog blitz or any of that kind of crap. You have the defensive end line up and get after the quarterback.
If I coach Myles Garrett, here's what I say.
Yeah.
Myles, see that guy? Go put pressure on him. Pretty easy. TJ Watt, right? Trey Hendrickson makes it a little easier, right?
And a couple months ago, rather, there was a day you were out, and Toby and I were doing the show. We actually kind of happened to philosophically talk about it. We stumbled into this conversation. How would you build the team? Like the simplest way to build a team or the best way to build a team? And my answer, honestly, even though they only won one Super Bowl and everyone makes fun of them, were those Colts teams with Peyton Manning, where I would go, here's my design. I'm going to get a lead. I've got a great quarterback, and I'm going to have an awesome pass rush. I want two elite pass rushers, play defense with everybody else. I'll dare you to run the football. I don't care if you do. That's, to me, the easiest way. That's the shortcut to win 12, 13, 14 games a year. Have Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis. If you don't have those guys, now go back to my Greg Williams corollary. There was a year where Sean Springs led the team in sacks, blitzing from the corner. It ain't ideal, but you can do it. You can Voltron a pass rush. You can bring a bunch of people together and mix and match and change and try to find the weak link and probe. It's not the easy way to do it. And they're, to me, taking the harder road where they're going, I know Javon Kinlaw's never gotten after the passer. Neither is Dietrich Wise or Eddie Goldman. But watch what we do with them. I don't know, man. Hard for me to feel as confident as they are.
Yeah, I just know what some of those guys are, and they're not going to rush the quarterback all that well. But I trust this staff to be right in this. I think they will do what it takes to generate adequate pressure. It's just not going to be a strength. I don't think we're going to be watching this team every week, and it's going to be a detriment. It's not going to be overly problematic to the point where they can never get off the field because they can't hit quarterbacks and they can't get pressure. That'll happen some. It also happens for the elite defenses with the best pass rushes. But I don't think it's going to be the story all year long. I think it's going to be closer to that, though, than, wow, this is unbelievable. They're one of the better pass rush teams in the league, and they've got seven guys who all have eight sacks, which I think is kind of the design that they're looking at. I don't see it happening that way. My hope is, number one, that Dorrance Armstrong is this year's Dante Fowler. I think he has the possibility to get you 10-plus sacks. If you go back to the playoffs when Armstrong, who was getting fully healthy and at that time was now kind of settled in and had been here for a full season, I don't want to say settled in the defense because he played for Dan Quinn previously in Dallas in the same scheme where he had 8.5 and 7.5 sacks the last 2 years, and then that dipped to 5 this year. But if you go back to the playoffs, he actually had his best stretch of games right there in the postseason, where he had, I want to say, 3 sacks total in those 3 playoff games, had a multi-sack game in there. He started to just more consistently make plays. And, in fact, it was Armstrong, not Fowler, who made way more plays in the postseason. He's also a better run stuffer than Fowler was. It's funny, we talk about Dante Fowler, who they lost, as if they lost Von Miller in his prime or something. And he's had 2 really good years where he's rushed the quarterback. I do think it'll be hard to replace 10-plus sacks, but Fowler was a liability against the run, as evidenced by the 60-yard touchdown on the first play of the NFC Championship game where he got caught going inside and fell down, and the whole play basically got derailed. Armstrong's a more complete player, but I think Armstrong's a very solid starting defensive end. In a perfect world, he's my second guy. You know, he is my Robin. He's my B. He's my 7-sack number 2 defensive end. And the starter on the other side is the guy that might go get 15, Trey Hendrickson or whoever. The problem is he's their A-lister. He's their Batman. If you're just traditional, lining everyone up to pressure the quarterback. And the guy on the other side, I guess, would be Wise, who's, I think, going to be really good against the run, but maybe more of a, four and a half sack guy. But what does it look like if Joe Witt's right and the sack total is higher than we think, and maybe it's by committee? Maybe it means Armstrong got to 10, who has the best chance to. Maybe Wise got you 6.5, which I think would be more than we're anticipating. Maybe you got like 5 out of Kinlaw and 3 out of Goldman. And, from the linebacking corps, Bobby Wagner had 4, and Frankie Louvu had another 9 or 10. Like, do you just think it's by committee? Or when he says Fowler was not expected to do what he did, do you think they feel like they're going to find it in one's player?
I was wondering that, because you don't specifically invoke that without saying there's almost like a wry smile, like there's somebody in that room you guys don't know that's going to do the same thing. That's what I thought he meant. But just looking at the roster, again, his point is correct. I did not have Dante Fowler at 10.5 sacks last year at this point. He's right. So you advantage Joe Witt on that one.
You agree with what I said, though, whereas at least Fowler had 11 before, Danny?
Yeah.
Like, you can't to dismiss it as if Dante Fowler was just some goose who, like, couldn't chew bubble gum and rush at the same time. He literally was a top 5 pick who had an 11-sack season on his resume. The idea that he's going to go get 10.5 sacks as a speed rusher is not crazy. There's no one on the roster like that right now.
Right, and I guess I'd push back a little bit and say a dude that was available for punter money, getting you 10.5 sacks, was very unexpected. I see your point that it's not out of the realm for a guy put in a good situation as a speed rusher if you're willing to sacrifice all run accountability and gap integrity and a whole bunch of other things. Yeah, that guy could get you more sacks than you think. But I think that's semantics. I guess to me.
Well, let me ask you this before you move on, just to drill down on this. So let's say Fowler getting 10-plus sacks, what percentage chance last year would you have given that right now?
At this point last year, 5%.
Okay, so I would have gone like 25% just because he'd done it. And then Dietrich Wise, who's never had more than 7.5 sacks, and the last 2 years had 9.5 combined, what's the chance he would have 10 sacks this year?
A fraction of a percent.
Right.
But my point is that this is the gap there, whether you think it's 5 or 7 or 17,
right,
25, that's not here. At least just doing everything I could do with my metal detector on the beach. I got no beeps, right? I don't see that anywhere on this with this current group. And so to me, I'm basically going, okay, what I always like to do, and not that my thoughts matter at all to them, but I want to see what they see. I want to think along with them and go, you know what? I see that actually. That makes sense. And when I can't, I get frustrated. And then when it doesn't work, think of the Rivera era all the time where I go, I don't see it the way they do, but I guess they got a plan, and then their plan sucks, you realize, and they're 5 in a million. Okay, I go, okay, you know what? The thing I saw as maybe an issue turned out to have been an issue. Last year, they were right a whole bunch more than I was looking at something I didn't quite see. I don't quite see this one in terms of a one-for-one, someone steps up and is the new Dante Fowler. I wonder, though, if this is more a we're going to do a whole bunch of things that you weren't expecting. We're going to have, for example, all the coverage responsibilities on second down and third down for Frankie Louvu. Those are gone. He is now a get-up-the-field pass-rushing presence. He's not quite Micah Parsons, but he's on his way to Micah Parsonsville, right? We'll get a pass rush there. We'll generate some from moving Javon Kinlaw around and having something up the middle. We'll have more from name that blitzer. I don't know. I just don't think there's a one-for-one. We got a Dante Fowler, just you wait and see.
Well, you know my solution to this, because I've over-talked about it all
offseason.
Does
it rhyme with Schmendrickson?
Well, if they're going to go make a trade, hell yeah. I just think they're not, and they're rolling with what they got. And if that's the case with the personnel in the building, it's Frankie Louvu. I mean, Frankie Louvu becomes an edge on passing downs, basically. And that doesn't mean he just has to come off the edge. Like, you can move him all over. Myles Garrett is over top of centers occasionally. He's rushing from the linebacking core at times. You can get creative, and Dan Quinn and Joe Witt will. But Louvu would not be a traditional off-ball linebacker on very many passing downs. He's the best pass rusher in the building, and I'm going to use him as such. And my guess is they're going to unleash him in that way. They did a lot last year. Oftentimes it was more of like traditional blitzes and dogs where he would be the fifth guy coming. But I'm talking about actually like standing him up and using his pass rush skills going against tackles. I would do that way more. But I am curious about how you guys would go about this, and we could dive deeper into this with Danny. Like, what did Joe Witt mean? Does he think they might find a 10-sack dude a la Fowler? Or do you think he's saying sacks aren't going to be a problem? We don't need an 11-sack guy. We're going to get to the quarterback enough. And how are they going to pull that off with this group on the outside on the defensive line? That's our question at 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in on Grant and Danny.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. The Commanders at OTAs this week took to the podium one by one as a coaching staff, and Joe Witt Jr. made it pretty clear they think they are set as far as pass rush goes. He pointed to last year ranking 12th in sacks despite, you know, the roster, the personnel, maybe not having been a group that you would have considered elite. And he pointed to Dante Fowler, who 1 year ago at this time we viewed as someone who was going to make the roster but not have much of an impact. And then he went on to have 10.5 sacks and a borderline career year for him. What's he getting at when he says we can run that back, we could do that again? Does he think they have a guy that we don't know is going to get 10 sacks waiting in the wings? Or is this going to be more of a contribution by committee, which is how I see it? I think they're going to try to get cute with Frankie Louvu. I think they're hoping that whether it's Wise or Goldman or Kinlaw, they all get two or three more sacks maybe than we're thinking, and you look up at the end of the year and the pass rush is pretty good. I mean, Danny, who's the one guy that maybe if someone ends up breaking out and having the huge year nobody sees coming, who's your guy?
Well, I'll say real quick, here's my side item for this, and I'll answer your question. I still think they signed somebody. I think they're going to sign a Matthew Judon or a one of these veteran guys for not that much when we get closer to training camp. I still think that's the secret plan. But
so you, when you say somebody, like you named Judon, it's going to be one of the better edges available. You think they're coming in training camp?
Yeah, or sometime a little bit closer, right? I think okay. They're going to wait for the market to soften even more while these guys are maybe not looking for, you know, the more lucrative deals. I mean, Von Miller's coming off a $20 million a year AAV, give or take. I don't think he's getting that. I think he's going to sort of wait. You know, they'll pounce on a, you know, maybe a Jadeveon Clowney, a Za'Darius Smith, a Matthew Judon, someone like that to supplement that pass rush. That's still my sneaking suspicion. But among the internal guys, again, I don't think there's a great candidate. I mean, Louvu's obvious. He's an 8-sack guy last year. Having him rush the passer more, having him get double digits, I think is, you know, not that crazy. I mean, to me, if there's one person that could jump up, again, I don't think 10.5, but it's Johnny Newton is the guy that I could see going from not a factor at all in the pass rush to maybe a 6.5, 7.5 guy, a la John Allen in one of his breakout years. I could see that being one of the leaders in the, okay, they're still getting to the passer enough, but not two guys doing it, you know, 10 each on either side.
Right.
It's a couple of guys have 4, one guy's got 7.5, and Johnny Newton on the interior. He's the dude to me that has the ability to be a little bit more disruptive than we saw.
Well, look, where's Daron Payne been? I mean, Daron Payne, before he got paid, had an 11-sack season. And every time he had a sack, his celebration was to stroke the pen on the check. I mean, he was working toward that payday. And it's been nothing like that for 2 straight years. So you could convince me he's trying to keep his job. I mean, they could release him and save $17 million after this season, that if he goes out and has a bigger year, that's pressures, that's quarterback hits, that's sacks, all of a sudden the pass rush looks different. I'm with you on Johnny Newton. You didn't draft him to be a space eater. You didn't draft him to stop the run. He's going to have to do some of that if you're going to be a better run-stuffing team. He was an impact, pocket-pushing collapser, right? I mean, that was a dude that got after the quarterback and got up the field. So they need him to do that this year as well. But you can't just have it come from the interior. There's going to have to be someone on the exterior that gets home from the edge. That's going to be Armstrong, I think, coming off the playoff performance he had. I do think he'll be their most consistent rusher. Let's go to Chris and Brandywine on Grant and Danny. What's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing all right. I was wondering about, you know, what had happened in Seattle. And what I do remember is that they relied really on that secondary, and they had fantastic linebackers, but their defensive line didn't have a superstar DN, I remember. I think it was more so like they held the line up and clogged things up so that the linebackers and defensive backs could shine. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it now – it's just, and I appreciate the phone call. A couple of people have referenced that over the course of this week, kind of looking back to previous Dan Quinn defenses and where they've been really successful. I think if you'd asked him, would you like a superstar pass rusher? They would have said yes. It just so happened they were built with that secondary and a Hall of Fame safety and a Hall of Fame couple of cornerbacks and were really, really good. But it's not as if Michael Bennett was a slouch or some of the other dudes that were there. But you're right. They didn't have a 15, 16 sack guy. They kind of made do with what they did have, which was, you know, this unprecedentedly good secondary. I don't know that I see that with this current group, GP. You know,
that's like, the question, right? You know? The corner play, the secondary play. It's not like you can not worry as much about the pass rush because you're locking it down on the outside, unless they're right about Marshon Lattimore, you know, who struggled immensely at the end of last season. But if Lattimore bounces back, now you've got a legitimate corner one. You drafted Trey Amos with length who could be really, really good on the other side. And if you have really good corner play, well, then we're over talking about the rush because it's going to be elevated by the secondary. But that's what they're betting big on right now. We'll take your calls on this, 800-636-1067, as we continue on Grant and Danny. We'll take you up to 6:15. Nats pregame, 6:45. The Nationals welcoming the Rangers to town tonight right here on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.